Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Content warning. This episode contains discussions of suicide. Listener discretion is advised. The casualties went from distinguished scientists to ultra-popular thought leaders in the disclosure movement. While the White House's UAP release disappointed researchers, more names were added to the list of those lost. Who could be doing this, and what is their ultimate goal? This week's episode is Missing and Dead Scientists, Part 3.
In the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who?
Well, as the time of this recording, breaking news, a 16th scientist is now missing.
Yeah, we've have space to discuss it sort of chronologically, but we were wrapping up the script and I said, well, someone else has now been added. Like, we can't. I said, at some point, we've got to cut it off. Yeah. And by that, I mean, somebody's maybe solve what's happening here. Mm-hmm. And save the lives of people who we desperately need, not just as members of our community, family members, sisters, brothers, mothers, fathers, and friends, but also for our safety and also our advancement as a society. If we're going to, you know, rocket into the next age, we need the people who are making the rockets.
Yeah, our scientific community is struggling.
Anyway, yeah.
And then you take 16 of the brightest minds who are working on things that give us a chance against our adversaries, and then for whatever reason, they're plucked out of this realm or found dead under mysterious circumstances.
Yeah, and you don't want to, you know, make it sound like, well, if you go into science, you might be killed by, you know, right, either a foreign government or your own government or whatever. You know, you don't want to de-incentivize the smartest people because they are pretty smart. So then they might go, well, I don't know. No one ever solves these things and looks into them. So maybe I shouldn't go into this. But I will say, seems like most of these folks, it is almost like a calling for them. Like, they're like, no, I'm drawn to like this theory that I have or something. So it's sad that they've suffered, either gone missing or died for what they just believed in.
Yeah. What their whole life's work was leading up to. And incredible discoveries that should be lauded instead of you get a bullet in your head.
Yeah. No, it really is horrifying. I think the extent to which we've all been lied to about what is out there. And one guy, the guy who just directed the Age of Disclosure documentary, said, we can't tell our friends without telling our enemies. So they can't tell us without everybody knowing it. But also, if that means secrets are getting people literally killed, like, what are these secrets doing?
Yeah.
Man.
If a secret is worth killing your own population over, then I think it's probably one that we all need to know. It shouldn't be a secret. It seems like something everybody should be privy to.
It's what the exotic dancer on The Office told Michael Scott: secrets, secrets are no fun. Secret secrets hurt someone.
Exotic dancer, are you talking about Benjamin Franklin?
it was the woman that they got to come to their guy's side out. I think she also later played the nurse at the fun run too. It's the same lady that she's like, hey, do I know you?
But yeah, I was like, thinking of when he hired a male stripper to come to the office for Was it Phyllis's? Pam,
yeah, somebody's bachelorette party. And he's like, my name's Gordon. And Pam's like, oh, that's not Ben Franklin. I'm being hit on. It's like when I was at a thing and the guy that dressed up as Beetlejuice was like, so my name's Dave. And you're like oh, no,
Beetlejuice. Well, now it's ruined. Now the illusion is ruined.
I'm not trying to be like, Dave, and make you appear. I'm
good. No. I was planning on yelling Beetlejuice's name later, not yours, Dave. Exactly. No. You fucked it up.
Legs
the
up
mystery's
in the air,
gone.
Yelling Beetlejuice. He said, it's showtime. You're like, Dave, when the suit's off, it doesn't work anymore.
It's just a hairy-chested
man.
Well, like, so you'd rather sleep with me with makeup all over my face and my hair that looks like I stuck my finger in an electrical socket? Yeah. And the black and white suit. You got to have it all. It's all there.
You're like, it's a package deal. So, well, maybe Dave, if we talk about him enough, we say his name 3 times, he'll appear aboard Crime Wave at Sea with us. Maybe he'll show up and want to be
a Beetlejuice.
Part of the show.
How fun would that be? Beetlejuice on a cruise? Holy shit.
I think that was like the third one Tim Burton wanted to create was Beetlejuice Surfs Up. And it was like Beetlejuice goes to Hawaii. And it's like, no, we can't have that.
That's when all the jump the ship or best in the case of the Brady Bunch episodes happen is when there's like a big family vacay to a tropical location.
Saved by the Bell Hawaiian style. I remember that. Man, that was a classic one. Well, come do Sinisterhood Fort Lauderdale style as we go aboard Crime Wave at Sea 2027. It's coming, man. Official, the open contact is happening in 2027.
Could have happened before we go on. Maybe it happens and then we go on this cruise and they're like, oh, here, go right through this giant portal we've opened for you. And it's like a wonderful, beautiful rainbow city, which is the title of the book Tommy got me
from the 60s
that has been typed on a typewriter.
I feel like it's legit. It's got stuff. Tom DeLonge talks about that rainbow city, so it's not wrong. But yeah, come aboard Crime Wave at Sea. Go to crimewaveatsea.com/sinister. Use code sinister February 8th through 12th. We're going to see you there. You're going to see us, Henry and Ed, the folks from Case File. We got Vicky Petratus interviewing Casey for the first time, our friends from True Crime Campfire, A Paranormal Chicks, all the fun gang from the first time, plus more folks from the second time. It's going to be good stuff.
It's going to be so much fun. We get to go to the Bahamas, private island.
Come on, pretty mama.
The ship itself is, I believe, the biggest cruise ship to date of all the fleets.
Meet me on the undership tour, baby. Day at sea. We're going to do
it
together.
It's going to take you 4 hours to take that tour.
They're like, yeah, we're going to need you to put on walking shoes. I'm very comfortable. I'm going to get my miles in, but come
aboard. Shoes and pants, you learned. Can't have shorts.
Like an
Not
idiot.
Allowed.
I wore shorts on a cruise ship like a dumbass.
Like a fucking idiot. Go put pants on, lady, to tour right the hottest parts of these ships.
Yeah, absolutely. Come sweat with us all at crimewaveatsea.com. Use code sinister. We'll see you aboard. And in the meantime, holy shit, stuff on land. It's popping off.
Oh, jinx. Boom. As my kids would say, sorry. My kids say jinx so much that was just muscle reflex to do that.
Right, if you're in a house with active jinxing happening, never apologize because you got to keep that trigger ready to go because otherwise they'll beat you and you're going to be giving out cokes left, right, and center.
True. Yeah. Yeah. Well, they have some loopholes now, and I'm like, that's not how jinx works. You can't trick me. They'll be like, hey, mom, what's the name of the movie we're watching tonight? Zootopia Jinx! And I'm like, you can't bait me into a jinx. It has to happen organically.
Exactly. We need a jinx that evolves on its own. But, hey, I like that they're trying to get them cokes.
Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get into it. On April 18th, 2026, David Wilcock, the 53-year-old UFO researcher and media personality, hosted a 3.5-hour YouTube live stream discussing the missing scientist. Wilcock was a major figure in the disclosure movement, urging the public release of secret information about UFOs and life beyond Earth that the U.S. government is hiding. His interest in the paranormal began in 1993 when he heard secondhand that it was common knowledge at NASA that UFOs had been recovered from crash sites. He established himself as a central figure in the disclosure movement, authored several books, maintained the website Divine Cosmos, and appeared in 164 episodes of Gaia TV's Cosmic Disclosure and dozens of episodes of the History Channel's Ancient Aliens. Two of his books were New York Times bestsellers, published by Penguin Random House. His YouTube channel, David Wilcock, Divine Cosmos, had 529,000 subscribers and 46.3 million views at the time of his death.
Yeah, this is one of the guys that right now, in fact, the History Channel just released an Ancient Aliens compilation video like 4 or 5 days ago, and he's just on it. No note on screen, like former, you know, passed away or whatever, but he's along with the like aliens meme guy with the brown hair.
Yes.
He's one of the,
most, I believe.
Yeah, or like, yeah, just like they always keep him on there, mm-hmm. and like he's like the go-to. David's one of those as well. Like almost use him in like, I won't say every episode, but extremely frequently to where he is like an Ancient Aliens guy.
Yeah, he's the one you go to for the Ancient Alien info. Well, in 2022, Wilcock posted a note on X reading,
"I plan on living, not suicidal at all, just concerned about what happens when you prove God is real."
On his final stream last month, Wilcock noted,
"I'm excited to be here. Every day that I have on Earth is a gift and a blessing because, frankly, people are disappearing."
He signed off by reading words of thanks from his many viewers in the chat. One comment he read regarding another scientist became eerie in retrospect.
"Ah, saving the best for last. The end won't be for everyone. I think it's possible he was sacrificing his reputation for the sake of the planet, just like Batman in the movie The Dark Knight. You are now cleared for liftoff."
Wilcock closed out saying,
"Thank you. I love and appreciate you guys. I'm so glad you're here. We will see you on the next time around. I'm so grateful. We'll do the typical ending. A-N-D, not E-N-D. And scene."
Sad. Very sad to know that was his last sign-off before his mysterious passing.
Yeah, and he had such a lovely rapport, it seemed, with his mm-hmm. chat. It seemed like people were sending him a ton of, like, "this totally made sense," or "thank you so much," or that last one about the end won't be for everyone. I think it's possible he's sacrificing his reputation for the sake of the planet. You are now cleared for liftoff. Weird message. He just sort of like read it and was like, "huh." Like, it didn't seem like he thought it was a threat or that it was weird. And he really did seem lovely in the end of like, "I love and appreciate you."
Yeah. No signs of suicidal ideations at all.
Yeah. And it seemed the opposite of being, you know, not like, "well, there's really nothing for me to live for," but it was like, "well, thank God I'm still here." Like, "oh my gosh, every day is a grateful, you know, I'm grateful for every day."
Mm-hmm. 2 days later, on April 20th at 10:44 a.m., Wilcock called 911. He identified himself and spoke about health issues and financial concerns. Deputies arrived at 11:02 a.m. to find him outside holding a weapon. He turned it on himself as deputies looked on. Boulder County confirmed his suicide. His family released a statement.
"David Wilcock took his own life after a long struggle with depression and overwhelming financial debt. There was no foul play."
In the period leading up to his death, friend and filmmaker Jay Widener said Wilcock had been experiencing cyberbullying, death threats, legal pressure for his opinions, and personal struggles following his divorce from Elizabeth Wilcock. His former co-host, Corey Good, also claimed Wilcock had been subjected to cyberstalking and harassment in the period before his death.
And I can see that maybe you would get some type of, you know, messages that are people disagree with you. But yeah, and, you know, what's he really talking about? Like the nature of existence and God and stuff. So that could probably rub people the wrong way, certainly.
Certainly.
But his family, you know, coming out just like there was no foul play. It was just this period. People are all fighting battles we know nothing about, but it definitely was strange timing just amongst the other deaths in his industry. You know, he's not a scientist, but he's definitely a thought leader in this industry.
Yeah.
And so for him to be talking about the very thing that it apparently perhaps he's become subject to, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's become kind of a running theme that the families of those that are said to have completed suicide come out publicly saying, "there's nothing sus here. Mm-hmm. This is just what happened, to the point where it's put up a red flag for me because of the consistency of how many colleagues and family have come out to say that. One, like you said, nobody knows the battle somebody could be fighting. Also, if someone shows up at your doorstep and is like, nothing happened to him, right? He did this himself, right? And you're like, yeah, we're going to need you to make a public statement saying that then. Or this is going to happen to the rest of your family. Okay, I'll say that on public TV then.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it really, and I think an average Joe might go, that seems really irrational that like the government would go that far to do it. I don't know. It just depends on, and the government, which one, first of all, that's mm-hmm. narrow that down. And also, does it even have to be the government? It could also be private interests, really, really wealthy people hire defense firms, security, yeah. quote unquote, security firms all the time. And they're often former CIA, former Navy SEAL, former whatever you want to, like the best, the brightest, the toughest out there, get paid a lot of money by really, really rich people to make sure stuff like this happens. And you say like, he walked outside, the police officer saw it happen. Certainly. And yes, what is the predicating act? What did someone say to you that says like, if you don't go ahead and take care of this, here's what the resulting issues will mm-hmm. be. And I mean, having, done all the research that we've done just for the show cumulatively so far, we're aware of what not just our government, but other governments and private interests and just human beings are capable of. So I don't know why it's always, you know, sort of poo-pooed or like outside the realm of possibility that someone is with whatever materials that they may have on them, blackmail them or whatever, mm-hmm. Say, today's the day. You're about to go. You're going too, buddy. Bye-bye.
Yeah. I think it's hard for people to rationalize it because it's such an upsetting thing to admit is true. There's infinite things in the private sector, governments, ours, others. I don't think there's limits to what they will do to prevent something they don't want coming out from coming out. Someone, you know, going to work for somebody else that they don't want to. Nothing is really off limits for them. Mm-mm. And that's hard to grapple with because it makes you realize just like how much we as just the general public don't know about. But that's kind of what we've been discovering for, I don't know, 6 months now, is that we really don't know what goes on with these extremely rich people, scientific, three-letter organizations. We just don't know.
Yeah. And if we go like, okay, well, we know in the 70s, we did this type of thing to scientists in this other country. I mean, we're not the only people that can read history books. If you mm-hmm. want to do your enemy in, go and study your enemy and do onto the enemy what they've been doing to others, either as a revenge plot or because you're like, damn, that was a good idea and it worked really well. Thanks, CIA from the 70s for giving me wherever I'm from. Insert three-letter agency from us or somewhere else here, like, oh, I'm going to use those ideas. So mm-hmm. it's like, it's not like, oh, this is something from a comic book. Yeah, because it was from the history books first, and then it mm-hmm. was put into entertainment because it really happened, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's another common theme is real-life things being put into entertainment, different media outlets to kind of make it look like it's so out of the realm of possibilities that you'd be a wacko to talk about this and think about this or think that this is true. And I think that's intentional.
Oh, certainly. Yeah. The narrative manipulation has been under the purview of the CIA since they existed.
Like, yeah.
Pretty much ever.
Mm-hmm.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. Ooh, I tell you what, when I slip myself into bed at night, I don't feel more comfortable anywhere else in my entire house. And it's because of my slippery, soft, buttery, delicious Boulder Branch sheets.
Oh, man. I spilled Diet Coke all over them last night. But it was okay because since I've narrowed it down to we only have Bowling Branch sheets.
True,
now
it's fine.
Like, okay, the replacement is also another Bowling Branch sheet, so this is okay.
And it's like we're headed into summertime, and you usually think like, oh my gosh, a duvet, sheets, all this. I'm just going to have to sleep exposed in the night, which I can't, because if I sleep exposed, the demons will grab my feet. I have to be covered. And so I got to be covered where it's not hot, and I'm not going to wake up and pool my own sweat.
No.
They got the
and
lightweight.
They have different heavinesses of the duvet inserts, light, medium, heavy, depending on where you live and what is more comfortable for you. We have medium. It's great. I think I'd also love light too.
Well, and they have Bowling Branch also has sheets that are 100% organic cotton, and they're woven specifically for airflow and also softness as well. So it's not this like there's no chemicals or synthetic stuff in it. It's just woven already to make you feel that way. So get you some Bowling Branch so you're not sleeping in a big old puddle of your own sweat.
No. And I don't know how they did it. I think it's magic, but 94% of Bowling Branch customers say their sheets get softer with every wash. And they do. It's the only thing I wash that when I wash it, I'm like, oh, good. This will be even better instead of it's going to fade or not fit as well. No. It's even better.
Exactly. I'm like, rub your muddy paws on their dogs. I don't care. I'll make them more powerful. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping during the Memorial Day sale at bowlandbranch.com/creepy with code creepy.
That's Bowl and Branch, B-O-L-L-A-N-D branch.com/creepy. Code creepy to get 20% off. bowlandbranch.com/creepy, code creepy. Exclusions apply. Other friends were not so sure about the cause of death, with one posting on X.
I knew David Wilcock personally. You guys have no idea how much he would never do this.
Wilcock's followers and colleagues also pointed out that just 2 days before his death, his co-author and biographer, Wyn Free, also died. No details on the cause or manner of death have been released. Free and Wilcock co-authored the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Casey, in which they argued that Wilcock is the reincarnation of psychic Edgar Casey. The book compiled Wilcock's channeled readings from 1999 through 2003, examined documented similarities between Wilcock and Casey, and argued the two men may have shared the same supernatural source of information.
And that's wild that his co-author of the book died 2 days before him.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's all the reporting that I've seen and we've looked up, you know, just said like he passed, he died, and who knows how, but.
Yeah, but it's suspicious.
I mean, it's just odd timing, certainly.
It is.
Certainly.
2 days after Wilcock died, an older video was posted on X showing Amy Eskridge in apparent distress, describing directed energy weapon attacks on her body, similar to the newly confirmed Havana Syndrome cases. The video was from 4 years prior, but went viral alongside the discussion of missing scientists. With this, Eskridge became, quote, the 11th scientist.
And this video is really one of the ones that went viral on TikTok as well because of, I mean, she shows her swollen hands.
Oh,
we briefly talked about it before, but it really caught people's attention, I think, when it was being reposted in connection with that 60 Minutes revelation that she said, you know, this could be run out of the back of an SUV with 5 car batteries. And in fact, it could be run even more efficiently than she was aware of.
Mm-hmm. And her hands, it's a very distinct type of redness, like cutting off the wrist. It's not as if a rash was spreading and you could see it spreading off or up her arms. It's as if you were wearing red swollen gloves.
Mm-hmm. Or put your hand under like the thing at the nail salon, but it fit both your hands and it cooked them like a microwave.
Mm-hmm.
Her, it looked puffy and cooked up like if you cook, like, you know, if you put an egg in the microwave.
Yeah. Yeah, or got a really terrible sunburn, and she said it also hurt.
Yeah, and it looked painful.
Mm-hmm. With details and evidence accumulating, Congressional Representative Eric Burleson publicly stated there is
significant evidence Amy Eskridge was targeted by a directed energy weapon.
Amy's father, Richard, told News Nation,
scientists die also, just like other people.
Retired FBI agent Jennifer Coffendaffer told Newsweek there is
no doubt
Eskridge took her own life. The public still continued to question the details around her death.
Yeah, it's that another one of those quotes that it may just be a family member that doesn't want to have their loved one's name associated with something or doesn't want to accept that their loved one's associated with it or has been warned to not associate their loved one with it.
When her father was in the exact same field and studying the exact same anti-gravity propulsion and knew the same results that she knew.
Mm-hmm. And you think, well, I tried to warn her.
Yeah.
Nothing worked.
The response deadline set by the House Oversight Committee's April 18th letter passed on April 27th. NASA released an official statement saying,
at this time, nothing related to NASA indicates a national security threat.
The FBI-led holistic review of all cases remained ongoing. Just days later, Area 51, the secretive Nevada Air Force Base, long associated with reports of UFOs, experienced at least 17 earthquakes in a single day. The series of quakes were comparatively low and shallow, leading some to speculate they were the result of underground nuclear testing.
I think either nuclear or underground directed energy weapon testing.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're blasting lasers down there to try and reverse engineer whatever they have.
You're testing something. Maybe you're blowing up something to get rid of evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Any of it is suspicious when you have 17 earthquakes that are all just, you know, shallow. They're not mm-hmm. like huge, big earthquakes. They're all around the same on one day.
Nah.
Come on.
They're like, we just got to get them all done. Let's just do them all on the 27th or whatever. But yeah, it's in the Tom DeLonge books, it is, they call it Dreamland, but that Area 51 is not like where there's alien bodies or anything like that, but it is where the Legacy Program, which is the name for reverse engineering the recovered aircraft, is located, including the test facilities where they, you know, test the individual components and also fly the resultant aircraft out of, which are sort of take off like a Harrier jet, which is to say directly, you know, vertical, and then, mm-hmm. you know, are capable of whatever low Earth orbit. So, you know, you see stuff when you're out at by Area 51. If the government also makes a big deal of like, oh, everyone that thinks there's aliens, what a bunch of idiots. If you accidentally see one of the U.S. government's very advanced aircraft, you take a picture of it, describe it. Everyone's like, okay, crackpot on purpose.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Lean in.
The first quake struck 2.5 miles below ground just after 3 p.m. local time on Wednesday, April 29, 2026, followed by more than a dozen smaller tremors. Geophysicist Stephen Burns claimed the activity was in
an unusual place to get an earthquake
and highlighted how shallow it was in a video on X. According to the geophysicist, the unusual characteristics made it
worth discussing in the context of if this is a covert underground nuclear test.
That same day, President Trump was surrounded by NASA astronauts at the White House. There, he mentioned the imminent UAP disclosure, telling gathered reporters,
we're going to be releasing a lot of things that we haven't. I think some of it's going to be very interesting to people.
Well, spoiler alert, it's not because you haven't released anything that we didn't all already know.
No,
so also, once again, you've just sucked shit.
You shit the bed. Shout out to the NASA scientists or the NASA astronauts who are standing behind them just stone-faced like, I have to be here to continue to get funding for my work.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no shade.
Just staring off, disassociating in space.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Yeah. It's when you've, you know, been to space and seen the Earth from that view and have an entire new perspective on humanity, to then stand mere feet from one of the most evil persons that lives on this planet has got to be a real mind fuck.
You're probably like, man, I wish I was farther away from you than any person in the whole world. I really miss that distance. And especially the smell. I definitely miss not having smells in space because this stinks very bad. But yeah, they really tease this whole UAP thing. And it's interesting that it's interwoven with these, not just the disappearances, but the interest in the disappearances, that mm-hmm. it's like announce that it's going to be released. 2 days later, someone's missing. Announce something else. 3 days later, someone else ends up dead. Announce something else. Like, that's another reason why I think that it's not just a series of coincidences.
Mm. It seems like if I had my monthly planner out and was writing down when certain things needed to happen for a consistent timeline.
Perhaps. Yeah. They're stealing these scientists and we need to go ahead and get ahead of any information that's going to be released. So we'll, you know, trickle it out.
Yeah. The May 8th release of 161 declassified UAP documents included images and videos of infrared blobs, eyewitness reports, and a 1947 FBI memo about Roswell. The release was met with near universal disappointment from researchers who called it historically interesting but analytically useless. Harvard astrophysicist Avi Loeb concluded none of the objects required an exotic explanation, while Representative Thomas Massie had already called the entire disclosure push
the ultimate weapon of mass distraction
from the Epstein files.
I think he's right.
Yeah, I very much agree with Massie on that one.
Yeah, and shout out to Cure for Paranoia. They have a song called Where the Files. It's just like, nice. Oh, that's very nice. Where the Files at? Where the Files at? Because, like, it is another thing to... It's one thing to say, you know, we're continuing to release the Epstein files and the UAP disclosure files, but instead Todd Blanche was like, we're done with all that. Shut up about it. We're giving $1.776 billion to January Sixers, okay? Yeah. They deserve the money, and we don't have to tell anybody where it goes or for whom it's for. So shut up and get out of the way. You want to see some alien pictures? Tough shit. We're going to give you this blurry bullshit that's got nothing on it at aliens.gov. Tune in.
Yeah. That's pretty much how it went verbatim. It's it's wild. We can save time at the end to talk about how all of our tax money
is gone now.
It's going to pay not only the January 6th insurrectionists, but a ton of other fucking people that Trump feels has been wronged by the public. And I'm like, you know what? Until I start getting something from the government, they're getting nothing from me.
No, I'm always like, yeah, I don't like how you spent it last time. That's how I felt when I was paying taxes while I lived in Illinois and Rod Blagojevich was the governor. And it was like proven that he was stealing money. And then I would get a message and be like, you need to pay us $120 in state income tax. I was like, no, Rod Blagojevich is going to steal this and buy a couch with it. Like, I'm not sending you money.
No, it's so toxic and so insidious. And the connection to Epstein, I know a lot of people will say, enough. Not everything is tied to that.
It is.
To which I say, I think it is.
I would say, especially given a new journalist just revealed that Epstein built at Zorro Ranch the type of low-wave radio frequency with connection to both Sandia and Los Alamos you would need to transmit information. So if you're still like, I don't think he was an intelligence asset. He was just a rich guy. I got, again, I have some waterfront land to sell you that's adjacent to his current ranch in the desert.
And wasn't it convenient that it was in New Mexico?
Yeah, where all these people keep going missing. And it's like you said, directly in between these very important labs.
Yeah.
Yeah, not accidental, I don't think. But
no. And I think for anyone that's like, we've all know what's in the files. No, we don't.
No,
we
don't. Stuff like that. Yeah.
We know what they have released because they wanted it released or because a whistleblower. We know a lot of horrible, heinous shit that happened. That is true. That's just the tip of the iceberg, though.
Yeah, we got the 50% that was the least damning, and it's very damning. So I think, you know, we're probably maybe 8 months. I think the midterms, I think we will see more documents released after that, but we'll see. Keep an eye on it. But in the meantime, I think Massie hit the nail on the head, and he's being severely challenged in his primary. We'll see. By the time this is out, we might know whether he won or lost. But I mean, he's a Republican. I don't love him, but he certainly worked very hard on the Epstein Files Transparency Act, and his challenger is way worse. So
yeah. And I appreciate anyone that will make it a bipartisan issue when it comes to things like this, whatever aisle they sit on.
For sure. Sinister Hood will be right back. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, a reminder that whatever you're going through, you don't have to go through it alone. Life is a journey. Some days feel good and others feel overwhelming. Whatever's keeping you up at night, it's easy to feel like you have to figure it all out on your own. But the truth is, no one has all the answers, and no journey should be alone. Having someone with you to listen, understand, and support you can make all the difference.
BetterHelp does the initial match work for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences, and their 12-plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. However, if you aren't happy with your match, you can switch to a different therapist at any time from their tailored recs. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally. And it works, with an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on over 1.7 million client reviews.
You don't have to be on this journey alone. Find support and have someone with you in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com/sinister. That's better, HELP.com/sinister.
On May 12, 2024, Matthew James Sullivan died in Falls Church, Virginia. He was 39 years old. The official cause of death was ruled an accidental drug overdose, a lethal mixture of alcohol, Xanax, cyclobenzaprine, and amitriptyline. He had a prescription for two of those four substances. So do I!
Well, it's not. We don't need to mix it with alcohol, it sounds
no,
like.
No, I don't drink. But, you know, these are prescribed for antidepressants, anti-anxiety. So these are all things that real people are prescribed and in conjunction with each other. These meds can go together.
Oh, certainly. And I think we'll talk about one of the theories at the end that he could have been taking them all perfectly right, and somebody else sees to it that he does not take them perfectly right one night, or somebody mm-hmm. else sees to it that he thinks he's having one beer and it actually has something else in it that's like way, way more. I don't know.
Yeah. Sullivan was a former Air Force intelligence officer and Bronze Star recipient, earning that honor for valor during Operation Enduring Freedom. He went on to work for the National Air and Space Intelligence Center, the Air Force Intelligence Agency, and the National Security Agency. This was not a man on the fringes. This was a man deep inside the machinery of American national security.
Definitely a hero. Definitely somebody who is on the cutting edge, it sounds like, with the type of machinery and materials that several of the people we've discussed so far have had interactions with. So again, it's not just some random person, you know, happened to be a veteran, sadly, which I think happens, you know, very often in our society. We don't take care of veterans like we should. But he wasn't just, you know, a veteran who had the usual PTSD. He was a veteran who had extreme knowledge of things that almost nobody else has.
Worked at a lot of agencies that were real secretive and smart. According to sources who spoke to the New York Post, Sullivan was also part of the U.S. government's UFO crash retrieval program. He had reportedly seen UFOs firsthand and was due to testify about those witness accounts at a congressional hearing scheduled for November 2024. That hearing would have been 6 months after his death.
So you agree to do a testimony in 6 months and you can't even make it to that date?
No. And to me, that is very suspicious. He was going to say a lot. He had a lot to say. And I think there's a lot of people that wouldn't want that out there.
Mm-hmm. And they take advantage of an aspect of your life that you have every right to have, which is pharmacological access. And then mm-hmm. they make sure
use it against you.
Yep. Use it against you.
While Sullivan himself was never a public whistleblower, Representative Eric Burleson confirmed that Sullivan was part of the UFO Legacy Program and claimed Sullivan had personally seen and touched both unidentified aircraft and non-human bodies. In one interview, Burleson put it plainly.
He's the type of witness we've been trying to get to. Someone that has been part of the Legacy Program, who has touched, put their eyes on, seen the physical evidence, seen the craft, the bodies. That was Matthew James Sullivan.
Sullivan is believed to have been one of approximately 40 firsthand witnesses that whistleblower David Grush, a colleague of Sullivan's, referenced in his explosive 2023 congressional testimony. Grush, along with fellow whistleblower Jacob Barber, believes foul play was involved in Sullivan's death.
And yeah, David Grush has been doing interviews, I think probably kind of like Amy Eskridge style of like, if you put your head out publicly, it's like, mm-hmm. if we all heard like David Grush suddenly died in a car crash, we'd be like, they killed him. They killed yeah. him, period. They killed him. But Grush was talking to, God, I hate him, fucking Sean Hannity. But Hannity's like, are we on the cusp of getting a lot more details that deal with actual alien beings? He asked David Grush. And Grush said, that's certainly up to the president's team, and I certainly support them. But it has come to my attention today that there are some actors within certain intelligence agencies, to include DIA and CIA specifically, that are blocking members of the president's appointed team and getting access and getting control of some of those records. So he basically said, like, I think the Undersecretary of Defense is going to start fighting back. So you're about to have... You know, it's like good news, bad news. The last president that like really fought the CIA was Kennedy. And that's look what happened. So yeah. Trump might try to say, you know, dick swing and be like, oh, I'm bigger than the national security and intelligence apparatus. Good luck. Maybe you are. Maybe you aren't, though.
We'll find out.
Yeah. But Grush also told, I think, Elizabeth Vargas, the lady on News Nation. He was like, I felt threatened blowing the whistle in 2023. He said, things happened in my life. I filed a formal whistleblower complaint because to my family, to me, that we felt intimidated. We felt that something was happening to us. And it seems to me from his conversations that he believes it is intelligence, that it's DIA, CIA, mm-hmm. and it's not the DOD. Although there is like some actors in the DOD that are more loyal to the CIA, I guess, than like the military apparatus. It's like hard to explain, but he seems to believe that, he was friends with Matthew Sullivan. He is concerned, I think, about this case and yeah. what it might mean.
Yes. And that Sullivan was targeted in the same way he experienced.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think somebody was like a third hand was like, David Grush has information on Matthew Sullivan. He is waiting for the right time to go public about what he knows about it, which it might be for safety reasons.
Yeah, for sure. Dr. Ning Li was a Chinese-American physicist who, in the early 1990s, teamed up with fellow physicist Douglas Tor from the University of Alabama in Huntsville. Together, their vision was ambitious. They planned to publish a series of papers revealing their findings on how to build a practical gravity modification device using superconductors. Their concept, which they called
a practical anti-gravity effect,
called for rotating ions in a specific way to create a gravimetric field perpendicular to the axis of their spin.
Well, if you say so, boss.
I sounds read good to that, me. Wrote it, and still don't know what I just said.
Sometimes
somebody explain it to us, please.
I always need it to be explained to me like a children's toy. Yes. And my niece has got one of those balls. I don't know if one of your kids got it, but it's like, it has a little gyroscope in it, and you turn it on, and when you throw it around the room, it sort of floats.
Oh, yeah. We have a couple of those.
Yeah. That's what I envision. Tell me if I'm wrong. But you can write in it. It's like big enough that you can write it. But it's spinning in a different way than gravity is spinning in order to give you lift. But it would have to be an internal spin. So that's until further notice, I'm envisioning huge hamster ball, person-sized balls like the anti-gravity balls my nieces play with.
One of the demonstrations I saw was more like a hockey puck inside some kind of thing like you're describing. It wasn't circular, though. And yeah, whatever was happening in there, it was floating, essentially.
Fuck yeah.
In midair. So yeah, whatever ions are being smashed together and stuff, the object, I guess, becomes lighter than the things in there. And therefore, there is no gravity. And therefore, a lot of things can happen when there's no gravity. And a lot of things that people that make a lot of money off of shit, like fossil fuel, don't want to happen.
Yeah, that's a good point, because then you would just be able to travel super fast and easy.
The duo's findings sparked an intense debate among fellow physicists, arguing Li's findings challenged the traditional laws of physics. Despite many of her colleagues' doubt, In 1999, Lee was featured in Discover magazine as a rising voice in theoretical physics. Soon after, she left the university and founded her own company called AC Gravity LLC. The work she was doing was significant enough that Dr. Larry Smalley, who was then chairman of the physics department at the University of Alabama in Huntsville, left his post to join her company.
I'd say that's a pretty good sign off of legitimacy.
You're like, I mean, I would feel honored if I'm like, well, clearly, if you're leaving this post where you're probably tenured to come work with me because you know that this is real. You've seen it with your own two eyes and that this is the way of the future.
You bet to see my hockey puck float. But yeah, I think that's why it's so unbelievable because we only have the Newtonian physics that we have now, which is, you know, the apple falls out of the tree, hits you on the head and whatnot. Object in motion stays in motion. But for as many as advancements that we've had, I have to remind myself that we still have so much that's undiscovered, not just about space, the oceans, our own body. My gastroenterologist today was like, the gut microbiome, like we don't really like scientifically know everything about how it works. Or like sleeping. If you were like, hey, doc, why do I dream? What's up with these dreams? They're like, well, we think it's this. It could be this. We really actually don't know. So the idea
try
that-
asking a doctor about perimenopause or anything women's health. And they're like, don't know, have no idea.
No one's done the research. Until someone does a bunch of research, we won't know. And I think that's the deal with all of these folks in their fields, Amy Eskridge, Dr. Lee, where they are doing stuff that's so beyond that they're the ones that discovered that you've got to wash your hands when you deliver a baby. And you're going around telling everybody that. And everyone goes, okay, nut job. Yeah, right. Okay, there's little tiny ghosts on my hands. Sure. The ghosts kill the babies and moms. No, they do. Absolutely. Wash your hands.
It's called that bacteria.
That guy ironically died also by bacteria where people wouldn't wash their hands when they cared for him because they put him in a mental institution eventually.
Of course.
Right? So that's, unfortunately, he's been absolved in history, but I think that we're going to see a lot of these folks absolved in the next 20, 40, 50 years where it's like, well, yeah, we all use that technology. And it's like, she was screaming about it and everyone called her a drunk on the live stream.
Yeah. Leaving the university for the private sector came with a noticeable cost. Lee's son, George, told the Huntsville Business Journal,
when she was at the university, she loved to publish her findings. But after she got her top secret clearance, she wasn't allowed to share anything anymore with anyone. She became much quieter. She would return from work looking worn down with her makeup messed up. It wasn't like that when she was at the university.
In the same publication, George reflected on the one time he tried to ask his mom about her work.
I said, Mom, do you need to tell me something? She told me, first off, you don't know anything. Second off, if you even think you might know something, you forget about it. I said, okay, that's fine.
Well, I mean, it's not the answer you want, but it's certainly a telling answer.
I mean, if you want your son to stay safe, you probably know the things we know are so, oh no, sworn into the legacy program with my secret clearance because in order to continue my research, they had to reveal to me this other research that they don't really reveal to anybody. And now I have to be trusted by the government that I didn't tell anyone.
And I am so aware of how secretive and dangerous this information is that you then are terrified your kid might accidentally misspeak and like, you know, I mean, I'm obviously she didn't share things, but who knows what you might hear or overhear, or you find a paper or something. So knowing that it was crucial for his safety, if anyone asked him anything, he didn't know shit.
And that's what one of the characters in the Tom DeLonge book, a kid walks in their office and they're and happens to see schematics or whatever. And the parent makes it very clear to the child. And the child was like, the parents never been this mad before ever in their life. And it's that is the gravity of what happens that you know this. And if you were to reveal it. And I do think it is the people that are willing to do to kill for this information or because of this information. Truly, some of them want it just for money, but other ones truly do believe they're doing what's right. They believe, well, I'm here to protect the U.S. government secrets. This is a secret. This person knows it. I have to end the chain with them, and I must do that. And what a job. I could not do that, right? Like, I got no beef with this guy. But his mom told him some stuff and can't have that. So I guess we're going to have to cut his brake lines and watch him careen off the side of a cliff.
Yeah. Contract killers or even three-letter agency killers, they are able to separate the humanity of a person from what you described as like, this is just my job. So my job is to eliminate this person, and that's what I'm going to do. And then I'm going to go home and have dinner.
It's Gross Point Blank style, right? Like, well, I just can turn it off. Or the guy that talked about he went and killed Bin Laden and came back and was like, I got Taco Bell and hung out with my wife. It's like, that is a very, it's a lot of training that takes them to do that. But also, I think like it's real. I mean, it happens. And so,
For sure.
These scientists, people that like Dr. Lee giving that advice to their loved ones of like, you don't know shit, kiddo. There's a reason why they give that, you know, she's not like, I'll tell you everything about what I did at work today.
No, she's quite the opposite. Probably terrified for her safety and even more so her family's safety.
Mm-hmm. Sinister Hood will be right back.
Lots of places can accidentally expose you to identity theft. Doctor's offices, online retailers, insurance companies, the list goes on. Thankfully, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. LifeLock keeps an eye on your personal information, credit applications, finances, and more. And if they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, they alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Even better, alerts are automatically activated the moment you become a LifeLock member. No extra work on your part. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Don't wait. Join LifeLock now. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 30% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 30% off. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
In 2001, Dr. Lee received nearly $500,000 from the Department of Defense to help fund her research. The results of that grant were never published. Whatever she may have discovered, built, or proved stayed classified. In 2014, while crossing a street on the UAH campus, Dr. Lee was struck by a car, causing permanent brain damage, which led to an early onset Alzheimer's diagnosis. Her husband, who witnessed the accident, suffered a heart attack on the scene. He died 1 year later. What a heartbreaking thing just all around. It happens on the campus that she once taught at. Her husband happens to see it.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a, they say, a, you know, just like a pedestrian's car accidentally hit her on campus. I don't know. That seems like if you were tailing someone and you knew where they were and you needed to make a big deal about how they were killed, and maybe they weren't killed. Maybe that didn't happen, but it led to something arguably worse than death.
Right. Especially for someone whose mind was so important. This the thing about all these scientists, now we're about to talk about number 16 as well, that the tactics used is overlapping in some of them just in these cases, but the tactics used are overlapping in some other cases we've seen before, including Dr. Mack that we talked about from the aerial school UFO, the guy that was John Mack.
He also was hit by a car. Uh-huh. You're right.
Uh-huh. Yep. He was about to go speak at something. I talked to all these people who had, you know, contact, you know, experiences with non-human entities. And then he's fixed. And first of all, they shamed him at Harvard, which we now know, no offense to anybody that went to Harvard, it's a lovely institution, but it's all the fuck tied up with Epstein,
fuck
baby.
Your school.
I'm
fuck
sorry.
Your Ivy League school.
Well, y'all are not gonna, y'all and Yale alums are not gonna love it when we talk about secret societies and shit up in there. Cause that's, and like, I mean, literally fixing presidential elections, in my opinion, like
for sure.
And stuff. So it's like you have these institutions that are very tied up with the military industrial complex because it is in the three letter agencies. It's a funnel to those things because we want the best and brightest working for us possibly. So they
and the richest.
Yeah. And they treat Dr. Mack like that. They're going, you don't think they're going to take out an older person like this. Mm-mm. I don't know. Again, maybe perhaps it was just a horrific accident that she just was out for a walk. But it was odd to me that it was the exact same thing that happened to the guy that was an expert on people, that was a venerated, you know, university tenured professor who got his went private and then mm-hmm. people didn't like what he was saying.
No, I think that's a smart connection to make. On July 27th, 2021, at the age of 78, Dr. Ning Li died. Her obituary said she passed, quote, peacefully in Huntsville, Alabama. There was no official finding of criminal activity connected to her death. A year later, Amy Eskridge, who'd also been researching high-frequency gravitational waves and superconductors for the U.S. Army at Redstone Arsenal, would also die in Huntsville.
So it's these clusters around Los Alamos in New Mexico and around the university and the Army Redstone Arsenal in Alabama. Yeah.
At some point, it stops being a coincidence and it starts being intentional.
Yeah. And it's just like, well, they just so happened to all live there. Okay. Well, show me anywhere else that this many people in the exact same industry, just like the orthodontists, somebody yeah. snatching orthodontists across the country. It's like, that's weird. We should yeah. actually look into that. If you were like these, like 15 orthodontists in the last, however many years, specifically in these ways, if they all had connections to something, I would think, yeah, that's something you need to look into. So it's
absolutely
odd. The, like we talked about last time with the Atlantic being like, this is dumb, stupid stuff.
Atlantic, I'm disappointed in you.
Come on now. But yeah. what we said at the beginning, at the top of the show, a new scientist has been added to the list this week. She has been missing from New Mexico since 2023. Her name is Ingrid Lang. Yes,
New Mexico. Another New Mexico connection.
Yeah, she was a neuroscientist, a bioengineer at Mind Research Network at the University of New Mexico. She had ties to Sandia National Laboratories, Los Alamos National Laboratories. She had a wonderful decorated, went to Johns Hopkins, St. John's College, UNM. And she also perhaps worked in Lauren Conlon. Shout out to Lauren Conlon from LA Magazine, who is doing a lot of digging on all these. And she found where her name was mentioned as a contributor to discussions about the future workforce of the nuclear security enterprise. But then that went offline and that document's no longer available. Her husband, Ingrid Lane's husband, also an astrophysicist in the Department of Defense, building directed energy software, directed energy weapon software. So
interesting. That's all very interesting.
It's a connection. But she left a silent meditation retreat in mid-October. It was like a week-long silent meditation Zen center in the mountains, like 50 miles outside of Albuquerque. And she said, I have to go to Albuquerque and Los Alamos. I'm going to go hike and I'll come back. Then two hunters encountered her at like this remote area near San Antonio Mountain, but her vehicle was damaged. They helped her inflate her tire and they said, oh, do you need a ride? She said, no, I'm determined to get to the top of the mountain. And they said she was calm, coherent, purposeful. And that's the last time anybody saw her. 3 days later, her Subaru was found via an AirTag and it was near this national preserve at 9,100 feet elevation. No cell service. A large boulder had shattered the rear hatch window and was found lodged inside the vehicle. There was front end collision damage inside, three laptops, an unactivated burner phone, and the keys are still in the ignition. So evidence seems to indicate she was near the vehicle. No footprints, no scent trail. You know, it's sort of similar to Monica Reza in so far as Monica Reza's scent went to like a mile out where they found her hat and then the scent just stopped.
Yeah.
Ingrid Lane as well, around the car area, it's almost as if it was a secondary site, like the car was put there because it doesn't seem that she like walked off in any direction.
It also seems impossible for the car to be in that condition without it being staged.
Yeah, it's just odd. But yeah, she the scent-ending trail is very similar to Monica Reza's. You know, she's worked, somehow had some sort of connection to this Los Alamos lab. Her husband did say she had expressed suicidal ideation. She had had some medication non-compliance issues and history of mental health struggles as well. But there was some a potential sighting by a United Airlines pilot a couple months after she passed away that he thought he saw her, but her passport and her ID are still in her family's possession. So, you know, if she was flying around, it wouldn't be on her own name. So yeah. Just a strange, I mean, she does have obviously this, the question about mental health struggles and the suicidal ideations if she had expressed that. But just the strange, the multiple connections and the spouse connection too. I'm not saying her spouse had anything to do with it, just that two people working kind of in this industry. Mm-hmm.
And it's a shame that while she, you know, she admitted to suicidal ideation and whatnot, that in these situations, one's mental health struggles are used against them to prove something that may or may not have happened. But 100%. Regardless, it's why so many people in this field don't disclose that they are struggling, because they are going to be be disgraced by their by their fellow colleagues.
Same exact thing happens with pilots as well. It's like you'll get grounded if you say you're having struggles. And to your point, of all people to have a moral high ground on this subject, Nancy Grace, of all people, she said, "I find it so offensive how every mention of Ingrid Lane, this decorated scientist, reduces her to a crazy musician with mental health problems, and she was out at this Zen center, so she must be crazy." Nancy Grace said, "This was a brilliant lady who wanted to have a disconnect for a week. That's not crazy for her to want to go to like a yoga retreat or something. And she's not wild and like some wacko for doing that." And she said, "I am sick of seeing with Amy Eskridge, with Ingrid Lane, with all these, oh, well, she's out doing some wackadoo stuff. She was crazy. You know, nuts and sluts. Chelsea Manning warned us." Like, they're going to try to make them all seem, like you said, use whatever they can against them.
Yeah, for sure. Maybe she was at that silent retreat because of all the shit she knew, and she just needed to just fucking deal with her own thoughts for a while.
No, it's where I think potentially a neuroscientist could come in is there is some indication that the aircraft that we have engineered from the non-human pieces are controlled in part or in whole by some telepathic connection, that it has something to do, almost like how Neuralink, the people that get the Neuralink chips in, can like play entire video games and write emails and everything. Some link is connect. I don't know if it's through a device like a Neuralink or through something else, but you, a bioengineer, a neuroscientist would be very useful for those things.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting hung up on, I'm determined to get to the top of the mountain. That's right? Getting like Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah,
she's just gone. And her keys are in her car. 9,100 feet up. Your keys are sitting in the car with your car. No cell service. And you're just gone.
And then you crashed into something that triggered a boulder coming through your back windshield.
That's what's crazy. Yeah. And the car itself. Yeah. It looks like, I mean, a boulder went through it. It's not good. It looks very smashed up. So just strange that she was kind of in the same neighborhood as Melissa Casillas and Anthony Chavez. So it's, who's to say how they might all, I don't think they like knew each other, but just being in the same industry in the same town.
Yeah. Well, when we examine the spouses of other missing scientists, more questions arise. Mark Casillas, at the time of his wife's disappearance, was a superintendent 3 at Los Alamos National Laboratory, a senior management role overseeing operations, staff, and, depending on the division, potentially classified programs and sensitive research areas. On June 26, 2025, his wife Melissa drove him to LANL at approximately 6:15 in the morning. That was the last time he saw her. When Melissa failed to report at work that day, her supervisor informed Mark that she had never reported or logged in remotely. Yet, according to Mark, Melissa still had her security badge with her when she dropped him off. However, she later told family she had forgotten it, which was why she had to return home. What makes the Casillas case unique in this entire cluster of missing scientists is that both Mark and Melissa worked at the same classified facility and held simultaneous access to LANL at the time of her disappearance. This is the only such case in the entire pattern. Adding another layer, according to Ashley Flowers, host of the podcast Crime Junkie, Melissa had allegedly lost her national security clearance at LANL due to family financial issues. Financial vulnerability, as intelligence agencies well understand, can make someone a target for blackmail.
Yeah, and that's like the strange thing. I think the law enforcement have cleared her husband. You know, he didn't have anything to do with her disappearance, but just the two of them both having access to the facility, and theoretically he would have maybe higher level access to her. It sounds like if she was more an admin role and he was a management supervisor role. So the mind wonders what, you know, what interest somebody, something has in her that they wouldn't pick him instead.
Yeah. It also adds a lot of context and information that because they drove to work together, he knew she had her badge.
Mm-hmm. And then she later said she didn't.
Yeah, and that's why she had to go home. And her daughter, who ran into her at home, when she said, I came to get my badge, she's like, but she had taken her badge.
Yeah, I want to know how these folks keep getting what appears to be lured away.
Yeah.
They're like, they feel compelled to go somewhere. I can't figure out what's drawing, you know, like we talked about Ingrid Lang saying, I got to get to the top of the mountain.
Like Close Encounter style. You're just making the fucking mountain out of the mashed potatoes at dinner and not knowing why.
Right. Like thinking about it. And well, that's what, like Monica Reza being like, I'm going to walk over here. Why? And then you just walk off, or General McCaslin just walking off in the middle of the day. Mm-hmm. It's strange.
It is very strange.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
Lots of places can accidentally expose you to identity theft. Doctor's offices, online retailers, insurance companies, the list goes on. Thankfully, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. LifeLock keeps an eye on your personal information, credit applications, finances, and more. And if they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, they alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Even better, alerts are automatically activated the moment you become a LifeLock member. No extra work on your part. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Don't wait. Join LifeLock now. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 30% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 30% off. Terms apply.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Then there's Susan McCaslin, wife of General McCaslin. Susan is an astrophysicist with extraordinary credentials, a bachelor's degree from UC San Diego in 1975, a PhD in astrophysics from the University of Arizona in 1979. In 1980, she was a mission specialist astronaut finalist for NASA at Johnson Space Flight Center. She's held a commission as a lieutenant colonel in the United States Air Force Reserve since 1985, and as a member of the American Astronomical Society, the Astronomical Society of the Pacific, and the Planetary Society. When her husband, General William McCaslin, disappeared, Susan made two public statements.
Neil does not have any special knowledge about the ET bodies and debris from the Roswell crash stored at Patterson Air Force Base.
The second statement was a bit more cryptic.
Maybe the best hypothesis is that the aliens beamed him up to the mothership.
Seems like a cheeky response for someone that is very well decorated in the field and I'm going to assume knows a lot of shit.
And her husband's missing.
Yeah.
Actively.
So that's like, it's a weird thing to say when you, as far as the public is concerned, have no idea what happened to him and your husband is missing.
Yeah. I mean, even from the perspective, and everybody grieves differently, and she's obviously way more trained than many of these other loved ones of the missing folks. But just watching the Casillas family, you know, participate with Dateline, participate with Ashley Flowers, you know, concerned, like wanting to find her, not quite joking around.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like, my mom would not do this. Where is she? Not maybe the aliens got my mom. So yeah. It's just and again, it's different perspectives, different maturity levels and experiences, but strange. And I would agree with her that the ET bodies are at Patterson Air Force Base in Lockheed Martin. They're not at Area 51, which is what Obama also said.
I think they got moved. Mm-hmm. The online community has largely noted Susan's background, but hasn't pursued it as a thread in any theory about her husband's disappearance. And to date, no verified reporting connects her professional background to any explanation for what happened to General McCasland. So what is actually happening here? At some point, the accumulation of names, credentials, and circumstances demands that the question be asked directly and answered seriously. Several theories have emerged, and none of them offer comfort. The first centers on foreign adversaries like China, Russia, Iran, and North Korea. The argument is straightforward and strategically sound. A hostile intelligence service has identified a cluster of American scientists possessing critical knowledge in nuclear weapons, advanced propulsion, and aerospace technology, and has begun systematically eliminating or extracting them. Some are killed to degrade American capability. Others, perhaps, are taken, their knowledge extracted through means that leave no body and no evidence. It is precisely the kind of long-game operation that sophisticated intelligence services are designed to execute and conceal.
That's pretty high on my list of possibilities.
Yeah. The more I've been thinking about it, I agree. This is a very likely scenario.
At least for some of them.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean,
it didn't have to be everybody.
It does, yeah. And maybe by design, they're not all, you know, the same thing doesn't happen to everybody. If it's the same whoever doing it all, you'd want to mix it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not as coincidental. The second theory is more unsettling precisely because it originates from within. These scientists may have stumbled upon or been actively involved in classified American programs connected to UAP, non-human technology, or advanced propulsion systems derived from reverse-engineered craft. Under this framework, a domestic apparatus is eliminating them not necessarily out of malice, but out of an institutional imperative to preserve secrecy at any cost. Some are killed. Others may simply cease to exist within any system a congressional subpoena could reach.
And that's the other thing, you know, with Dr. Lee telling her son, like, if you saw something, no, you didn't. Like, did if any of them saw stuff that they weren't or were independently in these private companies developing something that has implications either for stakeholders, political stakeholders or corporate financial stakeholders. Yeah, I could see them being sacrificed for it.
And as you mentioned earlier, it's not personal to them. Mm-hmm, it's just a job. So it's not, I mean, we can all say it's malicious to kill someone, but to them, it's just part of the job. There's no malice involved. There's no human empathy or, you know, feeling good or bad about it. It's just what it is.
And it's also heroic because it's protecting, you know, national security or secrets, whatever.
The third theory involves directed energy weapons. Eskridge believes she was being actively targeted by such a weapon, and she recorded evidence of it. The footage shows her hands visibly red and swollen. She described the attacks methodically and on the record before her death. In March 2026, the existence of a backpack-sized directed energy weapon was formally confirmed via 60 Minutes reporting, a device more advanced than anything Eskridge had described. The technology she warned about has now been confirmed to exist at the time of her claims. The question of who wielded it remains open.
And we know for a fact Russia had wielded it and had developed it initially, so that gives a little bit of a hint. But also the fact that it wasn't until March of 2026 that you and I heard about this means that our government's known about this, you know, for what, 2, 5, 10 years?
Yeah.
Gaslit everybody like they were idiots for saying that they were getting headaches. They're like, I'm getting zapped right now. No, you're not, you weirdo. That doesn't even exist. Yes, it fucking does. And it fits in a backpack like fucking Ghostbusters.
Another example of someone saying what's going on and it's the truth. Everyone saying she's a nut. And then, oh, guess what? That was all real. So we should owe her an apology. Well, we can't because she's dead now.
Truly. And the same with the Havana Syndrome people. It's like you've ruined their lives. Like the physical toll that it takes on them is a lot of them had to claim disability and quit their entire careers, move to different places than they lived. So the idea that if she was close to, and it sounds like she was on the cusp of something, that she would be targeted, it's not even just possible. I think it would be probable at some point.
And she also said that there were what she believed to be unmarked surveillance vans on her street and stuff. So you got one of these things in a van out on the street and you're just pointing it right at her apartment window.
They never know.
The fourth theory may be the most operationally sophisticated and, in its own way, the most disturbing. Under this framework, foreign intelligence services such as China's MSS or Russia's SVR are not conducting overt assassinations. They are engineering circumstances. They identify existing vulnerabilities, a troubled neighbor, an individual in psychological crisis, an isolated trail, and they apply pressure at precisely the right point. The deaths appear unrelated because they are constructed to appear unrelated. Each one looks like an accident, a mental health tragedy, or a crime of opportunity. The Grillmar case is a prime example. A troubled local man, weapons charges filed in December. Those charges dropped 11 days before he killed a defense-adjacent scientist. That sequence of events does not resolve neatly into coincidence.
And the same thing with the folks that died by suicide, either saying, you know, turn this gun on yourself, or they just shoot them on their own or burn them in their cars, or, you know, do these things where you go, well, Teslas blow up. Like, I mean, that's not unreasonable that Teslas just blow up. And look, there's all this video.
First of all, it is unreasonable because that's fucking crazy that these cars can just blow up.
They just be blowing up all the time and they'll lock you in when they do it. But like, you know, the like Grillmar's neighbor, Nuno Lurio's ex-classmate, you know, folks that are tangential either in true connection to the underlying target or physically nearby, you know, you don't know your neighbors well enough that one of them might could be through ChatGPT-esque, you know, chatbotting, through catfishing, and pretending to be a, you know, a real person pretending versus a chatbot, or threats, bribes, whatever, to start a feud with you, to, you know, run you off the road or whatever. So it's, that would be the most genius. It would take a little bit more work, but I think these people have been working in these fields for decades, so it's not hard to take your time and slowly but surely, you know, hype up Freddie Snyder or whatever.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think in a lot of things that are happening currently with people that have been blamed for certain crimes, this is what's going on. It's they were not killed by the person that the law enforcement claims killed them, but wasn't it convenient that that person happened to be walking by at the same time Charlie Kirk was assassinated? And maybe we can just pin it on this kid, even though it has nothing to do with him.
Yeah, even though it is like a single shot from an expert marksman that indicates to me it's a three-letter agency person doing that. And again, whether that's a domestic or an international three-letter agency, somebody real, real good at it. But you're right, where it's, well, they'll just buy it. It's fine. They'll buy it. I think we're seeing the like dying gasps of the old school style Operation Mockingbird, where there was a narrative control of having only a handful of news stations and people all watch the same channels and there's primetime watching and you have to watch it and this is where you should get your news from. Now to this scattering where you see Russia is paying certain influencers to put certain messages out there and where people have flocked to more independent media that's like listener supported or viewer supported because you feel like that person's not going to lie to you because you're that person's boss theoretically.
So
some of these like manipulations are melting, whereas before people would go, well, I guess Lee Harvey Oswald shot the president, because there you didn't have people with podcasts and, you know, clips on social media and God, you know, fuck her, she's not agreeing, I'm not agreeing with her, she's agreeing with me, Candace Owens, you know, people that have these platforms that say fuck you, it's my platform, I'll say whatever I want and can spend time on it. So I think those plans, the best laid plans, might be a little bit more easy to unwind in this day and age, hopefully, more eyes on it.
And finally, there's a theory that requires no architecture of malice whatsoever. It is all coincidence. Scientists, like all human beings, are subject to illness, accident, and misfortune. Patterns, when sought, are found, whether or not they exist. The human mind is extraordinarily capable of constructing narrative from noise. Under this view, there is no program, directive, or coordinated effort of any kind. There is only the ordinary tragedy of mortality, arriving, as it always does, without regard for timing or consequence. So what do we think?
What do you think? Who do you think's doing this? Sinisterhood will be right back.
Lots of places can accidentally expose you to identity theft. Doctor's offices, online retailers, insurance companies, the list goes on. Thankfully, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. LifeLock keeps an eye on your personal information, credit applications, finances, and more. And if they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, they alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Even better, alerts are automatically activated the moment you become a LifeLock member. No extra work on your part. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Don't wait. Join LifeLock now. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 30% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 30% off. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I think it is foreign adversaries or our own government.
Some type of coordinated. Yeah, and I think it can also be part half and half or part and part. Some of them that have been
Who's
killed.
Who's to say they're not working together?
Yeah, or against each other. And it's a race against time that some of them are being killed. Meanwhile, some of them we're trying to take them, like you said, and hide them somewhere. Wouldn't that be nice that they're still alive somewhere and, safe off wherever they're supposed to be? I agree. I think it's these folks touch too many important aspects, especially of our military. And I think when Roswell happened, we got a piece of the engine. Or whatever it was, the fuel,
the craft.
But what the part of the craft we got was the innards, like something about the propulsion part of it. And I think given that the world is big and there's a lot of landmass, the larger a country is, the more likely they've had non-human craft crash in or around them, whether it's India, China, Russia, somewhere where there's a massive land, you're more likely to have caught something. Well, and I think in Russia, I think when they recovered something, they recovered metal from the outside. And I think that RD-280 that we were using for our satellites and our rockets was really reverse engineered from the exterior of crafts. And once Monica Reza, through the funding from General McCaslin, figured that out on our own with Mondaloy, that we go, we actually don't need that anymore. And we already have the engine. That would probably turn up the timer for your foreign adversaries going, well, fuck, they've got the engine and the outside of it. And if you don't think we've got Russian, Chinese, whatever other foreign adversaries we have that are embedded themselves in our, at all levels of academia, defense, contracting, any of that stuff. And it could also just be, an average Joe American citizen who is being blackmailed or who is being bribed or whatever to give information. So they get, and vice versa, like we're not doing the same thing. We've definitely got Americans.
Everyone's got spies and everybody's sinister and it's all sucks.
This is not rah-rah America, but I think I was like that. To me, that's what makes the most sense. And that if my number one, not my number, but my like big conspiracy that underlies it all of like, why would you need all this? I think what they're trying to figure out, don't think I'm crazy, but
couldn't if I tried.
Thank you. You get it. So the 60 Minutes, right? Let's take what we know is true. 60 Minutes said, Russia has figured out a way to take a little thing. I imagine it's the size of a little handheld water gun and you can shoot it and it shoots microwaved energy to a person such that you can hurt their head, that you could cook their brain inside their skull, and also hurt their hands. If we have guns we can hold in our hands, we also have guns that we attach to our tanks and to our airplanes. So I believe we have craft that have these directed energy weapons already attached to them, and in fact also work with anti-gravity propulsion. And so you got to have a much bigger, more powerful laser to shoot that directed
lasers.
Lasers. Put it on the shark. Attach it to their heads. Yeah. But if you have these really strong lasers, if you were a country in a fight with someone and you're like, man, I would love to nuke their whole fucking country, but it would kind of cause a bunch of destruction all around it. There's radiation. We're all going to get sick. Shit's going to go in the air. It's going to cause acid rain. What if we just microwave beamed them and we just zapped them? And you, what if you had a thing that was as powerful as a nuclear weapon, but that was deployable from some sort of large ship in a concentrated beam-like situation that doesn't have the radiation that nuclear weapons would have, but that would be as destructive and sort of war-ending? That's what I think they're working on or have worked on or have figured out.
Interesting.
Of some sort of big, you know, or nuclear
drone.
Alternative.
I mean, even attaching something to something small but powerful could easily do something like that. And if, you're just trying to target an individual and you don't want a whole Chernobyl type of or Hiroshima type of thing going on, then you can just target them. Now, what that does, like we saw with the Havana syndrome stuff, it makes you feel crazy. It makes you feel sick. It makes you feel like shit.
Or burns your hands.
Could it also make you feel like you want to kill yourself and you never wanted to do that before, but all of a sudden now you do?
And that was my other question of if you have the capability of sending microwaves into someone's head from afar, that's my other question is, can you program it? Can you code what, you know, that there's a message in the waves that you're sending? Yeah. And if so, and that's a great question. And if so, what's the, could you make the message be like, kill yourself, kill yourself, kill yourself? Yeah. And would that work?
We've seen it in horror films before.
Well, and
in different manners, but it just points to my theory of if you've seen it in a movie, it can happen.
Well, if you dream it, you can do it. But I think, too, the fact that we're doing tests on subjects in REM sleep who are sleeping next to one another and one is given a target word to get to the other one. And they're also able to use like close range MRIs to map your brainwaves with AI to know what your brainwaves look like when you look at a red horse or a blue truck or whatever, so that when one participant is sending the message to the other participant, they know whether the other participant receives it. To me, that indicates there's some ability to map what our brains are thinking. And whether and to what extent that technology is deployed into our very hands that we, you know, things we hold in our hands, I don't know, maybe.
If you can map it, you can reverse map it. And so if you can see what our brains are thinking, if you reverse that, you could also control what our brains are thinking.
That's what I was wondering. Can you, like I said, can you send an image? If you know what the waves should look like to get a picture of a red horse, would you be able to reverse? And perhaps we've got brilliant neuroscientists listening going, no, dummy, that's not how it works. But I don't know. I point you back to my beloved, very brilliant, genius gastroenterologist today. Was like, yeah, we don't know how that works yet. And I was like, but you know everything. He was like, I know everything that we can know. Yeah. But there's some stuff we can't know yet because we haven't discovered it yet.
Yeah. And my question is always, well, why?
Yeah.
And usually it's because, well, the people that it affects, we don't really care that much about them.
Yeah. Or they're like, but then we would lose money.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want to lose money. Yeah. So we won't
if we
be
fix
doing
your
that.
Problem, then you don't have to buy a bunch of medicine to feel better. So Big Pharma's not going to be happy about that.
No, and they're like, and if you can travel anywhere you want with the electricity in the air around you and you can power your house with the electricity in the air around you, we can't have utilities anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then what? And you're like, God damn, then what indeed? Imagine that world.
Yes, well, many people are trying to prevent all of us from imagining that world.
It really does.
By taking out all the people that could show us it exists.
It exists. And I just, one last time, for all of these people, all 16 of these folks who are missing or dead, they were loved by somebody in their life. They spent their lives trying to make a world that we all dream of, that really does look like the future that we all, you know, the Jetsons that we thought we'd be living in. And so it's imperative to me that we get to the bottom of all their deaths, because I think we owe it to them, given that not only their lives that they sacrificed at the end by dying or by going missing, but their entire lives, works that have moved us forward scientifically and can keep moving us forward. And we don't want to discourage other people from going into the sciences.
For sure. People always ask us, what are the cases that stick with you? And mine are always missing person cases. And there's so many with this topic. And no one can ever explain to me, how do you just wave to someone and then you turn around and they're gone and there's no fucking trace of them? Like, how does that happen?
No scent, no blood, no nothing. It makes no sense.
I mean, honestly, like, if I found out they were beamed up by aliens, I'd be like, that kind of makes sense because
there's a portal.
they would just evaporate and like their stuff's gone and their smell's gone and everything. Why do they leave all their tracking devices or anything that could, you know, show where they're located at home and then walk off with a gun? Either it's to take their own life or it's to meet at a pickup point that has been previously disclosed to you. I don't know. I think there's a couple ways it could go, but whatever the answer is, they deserve for it to be found out.
Absolutely.
Missing or dead, and their families too.
The true root cause of it, yeah. So that the families aren't just like, well, he was here one day and gone the next. And also, I will caution everybody, as you're engaging with material about this subject or any subject, asking yourself, why might the Atlantic or whomever want to get me off this trail? And also, are these otherwise brilliant people being vilified or in retrospect made to seem like crazy people or fools or whatever? And let us not forget that for a fucking really long time in the 1800s, men could just sign their wives over because they talked too much or they argued with them or they read too many books. Mm-hmm. So
they have them committed to an asylum because
just lock them away.
They like to read. They talk too much. Yeah.
Yeah, she wouldn't have sex with me, so I got a lobotomy for her. So, I mean, the Kennedys did it to Rosemary. So it is a long storied history of vilifying women, especially strong, smart women, women that don't say no and that will just, you know, that don't take no for an answer and say like, no, I'm going to keep looking into this area. I don't care what you tell me. And so to see them not only dead, but also or missing, vilified in their death is it's gross. So fuck them. Fuck the patriarchal, misogynistic motherfuckers that say it. And God, for one time, Nancy Grace, you get credit. One time you get credit.
We're not agreeing with her. She's agreeing with
exactly.
us.
Exactly. You get credit this time. If
she is agreeing with us, you know shit's crazy.
Right? I was like, Nancy Grace, did they get to you too?
Dude, is she a plant?
Maybe.
Oh,
she figured it out. She figured it out.
Explain how she never ages.
She doesn't. It's amazing.
She has the same haircut and she never ages.
She's like, I am frozen in time and no one knows how to get me out of here. Can you help me? I'm frozen like that taut. You're like, stop talking about a frozen taut,
oh,
Nancy.
God.
Stop
oh,
talking.
Man.
Well, thank you all for sticking with us for all this.
Yeah. And, you know, if any of you, like we've said, work in this industry and know way more about science than clearly we do, we would love to hear from you. Any type of explanation for this is appreciated.
Yeah, we always love another perspective.
Well, if you like our free episodes like this one, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next, or dive into over 1,000 hours of bonus content like Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court. True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime. Heather Saves, where anything Heather has found late night scrolling could be discussed. And Am I the Asshole, Unpopular Opinions, and other subreddits that we feel require our input.
We also offer free trials. That's where you join for a week at any of the tiers, check out all the perks, and cancel anytime before the trial is over without getting charged. This week is the perfect time to do a free trial because this Thursday, May 21st at 8:30 p.m. Central, we're doing our live Q&A, which is our monthly Q&A. We talk about whatever you want to talk about, and it is for Ruling the Airwaves and Getting Into It tier. So if you do a free trial at either of those tiers, join the Q&A, binge all the stuff that's around, and then if you want to stick around, do an annual membership because then you also get a month free and you get awesome stuff all year round.
ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live stream bonus content. We let you all pick the content that you want to see. You get weekly audio bonus content, mini-sodes. We're dropping one this week that delves even further into the UAP mysteries, merch discounts, and a community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
Head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out your Sinisterhood merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show. Thank you so much for all the kind words and 5 stars. You can submit topics for cases you'd like us to cover, your odd but true tales for Freaky Friday, and whatever bizarre or hilarious video you want us to live react to during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. It's totally free. You just put in your email. You get immediate access to the chat. You get immediate access to a bunch of freebies just for signing up in our thank you to you. And on our website, most importantly, you're going to find tickets for Crime Wave at Sea 2027.
We'll see you on the ship, baby. Get your bags packed. Get your flip-flops ready and wear your flip-flops because we saw far too many shoeless people. I heard a woman in the Windjammer. She goes, I don't need to wear shoes. The floors are clean in here.
No, they aren't, lady. What? What do you mean?
here's the deal.
Clean.
They were pretty clean floors, but not if your filthy feet are on them. So pack your flip-flops. Join us. It's a hilarious, fun time. And you know, it's the type of thing that you go on and someone goes, what was it now? And you go, it was a true crime festival on a cruise ship. And they're like, huh, how was that? And you go, it was fucking awesome.
It was one of the best fucking weeks of my life.
I'm like, I don't want to go on a cruise. I want to go on a cruise with you guys.
Yeah.
Who, like, fucked up shit like we do. So please join us. CrimeWaveAtSea.com. Use code Sinister and get $100 off your stateroom and get to meet and greet with us too.
Yeah.
Follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us over on TikTok and YouTube at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from the episodes, live streams, and more. And if you are looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, maybe you want to treat yourself to a pep talk, book a cameo now, from happy birthdays to birth announcements to congratulations on whatever it is you've done. We would love to create a customized video that can be immediately viewed and sent. It's thoughtful. It's perfect when you're not trying to leave the house because it's about to be a million degrees outside. And it's custom because it's unique every time.
Mm-hmm.
Where can people find you online?
I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm on the internet at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Here are your special Patreon shoutouts: Kitty,
Sandra R,
CC Christman,
and Ree Joe. Thank you all so much for supporting the Patreon. We could not do this without you. We hope we pronounced your names correctly. We sincerely love each and every one of you. Stay safe, stay healthy, and keep it creepy.
Sinister.
What if you could get more from what you already do? When you're a Shell Fuel Rewards member, you can. When you join, you'll save 10 cents per gallon on your first fill, 20 cents per gallon on your second, 30 cents per gallon on your third, and more savings on every fill after that. Join the Shell Fuel Rewards program in the Shell app and enjoy life with more. Your nearest Shell station is closer than you think.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.